The Robber Barons, The Rockefeller Combination, Part 4, Rockefeller versus Potts. Now, the campaigns for consolidation, once launched, permitted Rockefeller little rest and forced him to run many fronts at one time. Quote, "How often I have not had an unbroken night's sleep, worrying about how it was all coming out. Work by day, worry by night, week in and week out, month after month. If I had foreseen the future, I doubt whether I would have had the courage to go on." End of quote. With unblinking vigilance, Rockefeller conducted an eternal war against waste within his company. For example, quote, "Last month you reported on hand 1,119 bungs. 10,000 were sent to you beginning this month. You have used 9,527 this month. You report 1,092 on hand. What has become of the other 500? End of quote. It is not a laughing matter for Rockefeller, this affair of 500 barrel bungs, worth at most $1 to $2. But Rockefeller's hate of waste told him that in a large-scale industry, the rescued pennies multiplied millions of times or more represented enormous potential gains. This was to be true of all the great industrial leaders after Rockefeller's time. The spirit regarded as parsimony is a large vision conception of text efficiency in handling big machines. So the feeding of horses, making their own glue, making their own hoops, barrels, all carefully supervised and all constantly reduced in cost. Oil barrels were reduced $1.25 each. That netted Rockefeller $4 million a year in savings. Oil cans were reduced 15 cents each. That netted the Rockefeller Company another $5 million a year in savings. In 1872, by absorbing the services of J.J. Vandegrift, Rockefeller acquired an ally with a combination of small pipelines called the United Pipelines. Rockefeller's men then constructed more pipes, and by 1876, he controlled almost 50% of all the existing oil pipelines in the United States. Some of them ran between 80 and 100 miles. Others ran strictly to railroad terminals, and then others ran to shipping ports or shipping points. At this time, 1876, Rockefeller's largest pipeline competitor was Colonel Joseph Potts of Empire Transportation Company. But the company officers were dominated by officers of the Pennsylvania Railroad, which actually held an option over the entire property. Potts was an aggressive entrepreneur, and he soon determined that in order to survive Rockefeller, he needed to either expand or suffer extinction. To Rockefeller's alarm, Potts purchased several big New York refineries and proceeded to pipe crude oil from the oil fields over the railroad to the eastern seacoast. Rockefeller petitioned the railroad to withdraw from his domain. They refused, and Rockefeller said he would take his own measures. What he chose was a rate war, and Rockefeller moved quickly. At once, the other railroads, which is the Erie and the New York Central, were ordered to stand by, lowering their freight rates for Standard Oil, while Rockefeller slashed the price of refined oil in every market that Potts's Empire Transportation Company reached. But Potts fought back, and fought back harder than anyone Rockefeller had ever encountered. He replied in kind. Further price cuts. He began building larger refineries on the East Coast. He lined up independent oil producers to support him. And he lined up reserves of quantities of tank cars, barges, ships, and dock facilities. Now, during this bitter conflict, This resounded through the hills and fields of Pennsylvania. And the railroads who supported Rockefeller and Potts also suffered heavily. Yet Rockefeller would not give up. Standard Oil's whole system of organization was endangered. So how is this going to turn out? Well, of course, we know that Standard Oil survived, so we know that Rockefeller will end up winning. But it's not the rate in reduction that brings him success. It's a major break, and that is the Great Railroad Strike of 1877. And that hurts Potts more than it does Rockefeller. And the Great Railroad Strike is what we're going to look at next time. Now, the sources for this is The Robber Barons by Matthew Josephson, America in the Gilded Age by Cashman, and The Age of Moguls, The Story of Robber Barons and Tycoons by Holbrook. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com, historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.